Today's topic is going to be a topic that's a little bit, I mean, it's very sad, it's an unfortunate thing, but it is something that happens, it's something that comes up, and it's an interesting topic, and it's related to something we did not that long ago in the Daf Yomi. There is a very sad case that happens a lot where a couple goes through a miscarriage, a stillborn baby, or a lo aleinu, a baby that dies within 30 days of being born. Now, in such cases, there is no avelus, but there might be a chiyuv kavura. So I want to talk about how to handle those situations. A lot of times, people that are in those situations are totally unaware that there's even anything to discuss. They just assume that they'll go get whatever they need to get done in the hospital, an outpatient procedure, that they remove whatever excess there is from inside of the woman, and that's it. And they don't realize that there might be more to the story. So there's obviously a very important psychological component and important eitzah on handling in terms of grief and the like. There's a wonderful article by Rabbi Jason Weiner from Los Angeles, the chaplain at Cedar Sinai, on this topic that was printed in Chakira a while ago, where he covers all the halachic issues as well as a lot of the pastoral issues that are associated with it. We're going to stay away from the pastoral issues because this is not 10-minute psychology is 10-minute halacha. So we're going to stick with the halachic issues for this particular shir. So first of all, how old of a baby are we talking about? So if the baby lived for 30 days, there is full avelus. If it died within 30 days, then it's a suffik nefel, and suffik avelus is lukula, so we wouldn't observe any dinim of avelus. Now, if a pregnancy is lost, clearly at the very, very beginning of the pregnancy, before there's any chituch evarim or anything like that, there's nothing. Then it's just viewed as like a heavy period. It's not considered to be a real nathel. The fetus does not have, certainly there's no Indian of kavura on the fetus. But there is a machlokas at what point that changes. When in the pregnancy, for the pregnancy to be lost, would it generate a potential chi of kavura? So most assume that once it takes on the form of a person, once there is chituch evarim, and you're able to identify the limbs of the fetus. In Tshuvas Va'anagos Chelek Beis and Tavreish Beis, Rav Sternbach writes that it's only after 5 months of gestation. In Shevet Alevi, Rav Azner and Chelek Yotzim Reshit Aleph Os Gimel says that 3 months of gestation, and El Chaznish and Archos Rabbeinu Chelek Dalet Pech Kuftes unbelievably says that even after only 40 days of gestation already is considered to be a fetus that you may have to deal with in terms of kvura. So what? First let's discuss what to do when the baby dies, and then we'll discuss burying a nefel, and then we'll discuss other issues that come up around the time of burial. So first, what to do as soon as it happens. Is there a bracha of Dayana Emes? Or a Felder in Yesod Esmachos says that you should say Dayana Emes. However, in Gesher HaChaim, Rav Tukachinsky in Dalet Chaf Aleph says not to say Dayana Emes. In a sefer that Rav Weiner quotes a lot, Chalom Ya'uf, page Chav Zayin, I never heard of the sefer, but he quotes in that article in Chakira, he says that it depends on whether you understand Dayana Emes to be related to Kriya. If Kriya is connected to Avelus and Dayana Emes is connected to Kriya, then there would be no bracha. But if it's not connected to Kriya, then it's a Basura Ra'a that you would still say a Dayana Emes on, even though there's no din of Kriya. Now, what about Kriya? Is there a din of Kriya? So Shulchan Aruch and Yardeis and Shin Mem Sivlam, it says very clearly that you don't tear Kriya when a woman has a miscarriage or when a Nefel dies. However, in this Kuntras Kachalom Ya'uf, he says that you're allowed to tear Kriya, that it's not Bal Tashchis, and that's based on the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in the third paragraph of Masechta Medkatan, meaning Kriya is not the kind of thing where you could just say, okay, I'll be Machmir and I'll tear Kriya. No, because then it's Bal Tashchis, you're destroying a perfectly good Beged. So there could be this in between where there's no Chi of Kriya, but it's also not Bal Tashchis because it's an understandable expression of one's grief. Now let's get to the actual sugya of burying a nefel, because this is what came up recently in the Daf Yomi. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Tes tells a story of a shivcha that threw a nefel into a bar, and there was some discussion whether to be concerned about the tumah of the that remains in the bar. So Nagos Memonios and Ilchus Mila Paragalef Os Yud, he says that you see from here that there's no mitzvah to bury a nefel because she threw the nefel in the bar. That would mean that the kavura would certainly not be docha yom tov sheni if you do bury it because there's no real mitzvah, and that's in fact the psak of the Rama in Or Chaim Sim Tovkuv Chavav Siv Yud and in Yor Deis Sim Reish Samach Gimel Siv Hey, that we do not bury nefelim on Yom Tov because there is no mitzvah kvura and therefore no isser of lo salin of leaving the body unburied. However, the Magen Avraham Sim Tovkuv Chavav Siv Kat Chav disagrees with the Rama, and he proves that there is a chiyuv of kvura of a nefel, and an Isra of Lotalin. What about the Raya from the Gemara and Psachim about the Shivcha that threw the Nefel into the bar? Two answers. Number one, he says throwing it into a bar is a Kiyum of Kvura, based on our Rash in the 16th parak of Maseches Ha'alos, that if you designate the Afara bar as Afara Kever, then that works. That is Kvura when you throw it into the bar. Alternatively, he suggests, the Gemara speaks about a Shvir. A Shvir is not a Nefel. So had it been a Nefel, then Eino Chinami. The Chazanish in Yardes and Reish Sif Katan Tes disagrees with both of these answers. First of all, as far as the idea that it's a fulfillment of Kvura to throw it into a bar, says Chazanish, no way. It cannot be a fulfillment of Mitzvah's Kvura to throw a fetus into a bar, because it's not protected in the bar. That's why Avelus only begins with Stimas HaGolel, where you put the mace in a place where nothing's going to happen to it anymore, where it's now fully interred and it's not going to be messed with. But the whole Sugin Psachim is about a Chulda coming and dragging it away, and it's certainly no protection in there. And as far as the idea that it's a shvir, even if it were a shvir, there would be it would still be also misafik that there may be a nefel in the shvir. And also, the Gemara Pesachim has one approach that it's speaking about a nefel vaday, so it's hard to make an ukimta that it's talking about a shvir. Now, despite all of this, Chaznish Paskins like the Magen Avram that there is a chi of kvura. The Gemara Pesachim, he says, not a raya anyway, because that whole maisa is such a strange maisa. That whole maisa was shalo beratzon chachamim. That is what Tosos over there in Daf Tesa Amud Aleph writes, that who do they get to look to see if there's tumah in the bar? A Kohen. So says Tosos, the Kohen is a Kohen Shaita. How can he go looking in a bar for tumah? He might find it. That's going to be a problem. He's not allowed to. So the whole story is such a madna maisa. It's not something you can learn any halachos from, says the Chazanish. Now, the Shaul Meshiv, Madura Tlisa'a, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tesvav, also paskins like the Magen Avram, that there is a Chi of Kvura, and you have to do it even if it's very expensive. In Shuvas Chasam Sofer, Chaim Simen Kuf Mem Dalit, he says that there are two reasons in the Gemara and Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav for Kvura. There's Kapara and there's Bizyona. You want to get Kapara for the person, the Nifter needs a Kapara, so Kvura provides a certain level of Kapara, and there's a Bizyon in not having Kvura. So the Nefel clearly has no need for Kapara, but Bizyon, that might still apply. So normally throwing into a bar does not fulfill Kvura, but maybe it does save from the Bizyon of not being, of remaining unburied. Maybe it doesn't give the kapara element, but maybe it saves the bizayon. So that's how the Chasam Sofer suggests. The Magen Avram may be right that there's a chi of kvura, and the idea that you could be yotzei the kvura by throwing it into the bar, even though normal kvura, you can't take someone else and throw him into a bar and do kvura that way, but maybe dafka for a nefel, where there's no inyan of kapara, maybe it will work. That's how the Chasam Sofer suggests. There's a tshuvas avnei tzedek, yoredeis mekuf memhei, that it says that the entire machlokas is only me'ikar adin. But now that it's widely accepted practice, kvar shavu alai chova, he compares it to tefillas arvis, that even though tefillas arvis for shos, kvar shavu alai chova, we treat it like a chiyuv, and therefore we should take it as a chiyuv to bury a nefel. Furthermore, the kolbon, chelek aleph perek gimel simen gimel, says that since the gemara in ksubas daf kuf yud aleph says that nefelim will have tchias amesim, it's really important to bury them, because it's not possible to have tchias amesim without kavura. In Mesoris Moshe, Chelek Aleph, page Shin Ayin Vav, they report that Rav Moshe said that since the Chiv Kavura is only to prevent Tumas Kohanim, that's the way he understood it, not because of Bizyona, but because of Tuma, if you can't easily get the hospital to release the fetus, you don't have to put up a fight. You can let them discard it however they discard it, because Mistama, however they discard it, is not going to risk Tumas Kohanim. Practically speaking, the Chevra Kadisha generally handles everything without the parents even knowing where the baby is buried. There's no marker on the grave, there's a special section in the cemetery, dafka for nefelim, and that was always traditionally what they recommended, was that parents stay out of it, they just contact the Chevra Kadisha, you call Rabbi Zon, he takes care of it, and that's it. And you're not involved Rabbi Zon if you live somewhere in America, because he pretty much takes care of every Chevra Kadisha in America. He's one of the biggest tzaddikim in all of America. They take care of it very, very quietly. Hospitals will often offer the choice of the mortuary handling everything or the parents being involved, and they'll even offer the option to hold the baby, to take pictures of the baby if the fetus was already, if it was a stillborn and it was already developed. It was traditionally believed that the parents' involvement is not a healthy thing, and certainly Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes that you're not supposed to kiss a dead child, and there's certainly a risk of doing that if you're going to hand the baby to the parents. However, there is some psychological research that Rabbi Weiner quotes that suggests that it may help parents deal with their loss, again, beyond the scope of what we're talking about right now. What about keeping the fetus for research? A lot of times, it was a big surprise. The pregnancy was going great. Everything was fine. Every checkup was fine. And then all of a sudden, in the ninth month, they have a stillborn, and something goes very, very wrong. So they want to know. They want to do some research. What happened over here in order to be able to prevent this from happening again in the future? So in Tshuvas Bin Yitzion, Siman Kuf Yutes, he says, technically, that's mutter, because there's really no chiyuv kvura and no isur hana'a on the body. It's just a concern of tumah, meaning, like Ramesh said, that the whole concern is only one of tumas kohanim. But he says, I'm nervous because karov levadaihu sheyavol sham kohanim berabosei yam v'tumah ba'ohel. That if they keep the fetus long enough for research, it's karov levadai that a kohen is going to come into contact with it. I don't know what Metzias the Binyan Tzion was talking about, but nowadays, is it a karov levadai that a kohen is going to come in contact with it? I'm not sure. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo Chela Gimel Siman Kuf Gimel Ozvav says that you can absolutely do an autopsy if that information that's going to be gleaned, again, on a nepho, if the information that is gleaned is likely to prevent future miscarriage or infant deaths. In Nishmas Avram, Yerdeas, and Shimon Tes, he says that Rav Neuvert pointed out that there's much less of an issue to do an autopsy if there was no chituch avarim, meaning even if you're going to be machmir to do a kavura, even at an earlier stage, but if there's no chituch avarim, then there's much less of a reason to be machmir about an autopsy. But a good ha'ara is that Rabbi Wein makes is that it's always worthwhile to ask if they can do something less invasive, like a biopsy or a blood sample, to glean the necessary information without doing a total autopsy. And then there's two other points over here. Number one, there is a minhag that Shulchan Aruch quotes in Yerdeas and Reisam Gimel Sefei that if the baby was a boy, even though it is already deceased, to give a bris on a nefel. And the Mincha Shlomer, Shlomo Zalman, Chelik Beis, and Tzadi Vavos Beis, says that we do this on a fetus as well. In halachic positions of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, he points out, Rabbi Ziegler points out, that Rabbi Soloveitchik said that apparently doing the bris is a really important minhag, because some posts can be even allowed digging the baby up after kavura in order to do the bris. So that's a significant minhag that people have. And along with that comes the second minhag. Shulchan Aruch and Yerdeas and Reish Lakish Gimel Sifhei says, the minhag is to name the baby as well. A boy at the bris that you're doing, and a girl at the kavura. And the idea is that at Tchias HaMesim, the Nefel is going to have Tchias HaMesim as well, and the parent will only have a recognition of the child through the child's name, so they're supposed to give the child a name. In Shuvas Mincha Shlomo Chel Beisim Tzadivav Oz Beis, and in Nishmas Avram, Simon Reish Samach Gimel Oz Hei, he says that the practice is to give uncommon names. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach gave the example of Misushelach, or Rachamim, names that are not commonly used, not like Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe, you know, not the more common names. Rabbi Zon said that the minhag is to name Yonah because A, the name is a unisex name, so if you're not able to tell the gender yet, it's a name that works in either way. It depends whether you're referring to the prophet or the bird. You know, if it's a girl, you'd be naming after the bird. If it's a boy, you'd be naming after the prophet, right? So the name Yonah is a unisex name, and because Yonah ben Amittai, according to the Medrash, died as a child and had a Tchias HaMesim. So Dafka, when the whole hope for the future of the child is a Tchias HaMesim, to Dafka choose that name. That is a matter of minhag. All of this learning, Bez Hashem, should be lahalacha v'lo l'maisa for any of us. We should only share in Simchas and Klal Yisrael. Everyone should have a wonderful day.